1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And that word stewards is managers. God has called each of His children to be managers of so many things in our life. And He's called us to be faithful in those management responsibilities. He's called us to be, trusted, with, He's blessed us with. And I think about how each of us in this room, you teenagers, you young people, every age group in this auditorium, God has entrusted you with some things. You teenagers say, well, it sure ain't finances, Pastor. Well, I understand that. It may not be a lot of that, but there are other things that God has blessed you with. Our gifts that God has given us through His Spirit. The time He's given us. The families He's given us. The situations He puts in our life that we can be stewards with. And so I want to just talk about specifically, though, this area of finances. God has blessed us each with finances that He wants us to be good stewards of. And that's one thing I do believe about young people participating in this study. I would encourage it. But parents, you use discernment. If you feel like the maturity level is where it needs to be, if you think it, if your young person is interested in learning more about how to save some money and invest and those type of things, that training, I would encourage you to allow them to participate. And that just, you know, let that be a decision that you make. But I feel like it would be a worthy investment. I like this quote here. In the area of money in the Bible. By the way, the Bible talks a lot about money. I mean a lot. It through the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, it is referred to often, and God gives clear instruction how His people should handle money and how they should not handle money. I like this quote here. The more you look at how the Bible addresses money, the more you discover very practical advice about stewardship, devotion, and discipline. I'll say that again. The more you discover, as you see money addressed in the Bible, the more you discover very practical advice about stewardship, devotion, and discipline. One of the first things I want to mention tonight, and going into a study, I believe sometimes these studies and the emphasis on money can really be imbalanced. I really believe that we are seeking to approach this with biblical balance that would honor the Lord and encourage us. That being said, let me just say this up front and make it crystal clear. Just to avoid being anywhere near the health and wealth gospel, name it, claim it stuff, prosperity gospel type stuff. Listen, that's not biblical. Okay? If that was biblical, then Paul failed miserably. And so did Jesus, who didn't even have a house to sleep in. No, my friends, that is not, we're not going that direction. But however, I will say this as well. God also, I believe, is pleased when we handle money in a way that honors Him. Let me say this. Number one, happiness is not found in money. That'd be a great place to say amen. Happiness is not found in money, but neither is it found in being broke. You can say amen right there, too. Amen, preacher. But neither is it found in being broke. You know what? It comes. You know where happiness comes from? You know where contentment comes from? You know where joy comes from? It's not in money. It comes when we honor the Lord God in whatever we do. And that refers also to the subject of honoring God with our finances. I believe that that's where happiness will come. Let me just read a few verses. You can flip to them if you want to. There's quite a few verses I'd like to share. But let me say this in this area of being careful of even when we're studying and becoming more diligent with our finances and becoming more responsible and becoming more trusted with what God blesses us with. Let's just be very clear up front, the reasons not to put too much emphasis on money. The Word of God says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. So it is crystal clear as we study the Word of God that we are not to fall in love with money. As we know, the Word of God says, and I'll read it now in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. Listen to this. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. What does that mean? Those that are just so hungry to be rich. I want to be rich. I want to get rich. And I think that's an imbalance. There's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with having money. But that is not the main focus. That is not the main goal. And this is what he says. They fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which do what? Which drown men in destruction and perdition. And verse 10 says this, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Boy, Timothy, you're saying there money has caused people to err from the faith. And we have to be guarded against that. I can tell you a story now. I'm not going to mention any names, but in Bible college, had a good friend called to be an evangelist. And he was a gifted evangelist. He was a preacher. He could preach. He had a heart for ministry and for preaching. And man, by the time the end of Bible college, I saw little steps, but it didn't happen one time. But by the time he got out of college, he had got this idea. And I don't know exactly where it came in from, but it got him. He got convinced that he was just going to earn a bunch of money and just support himself in the ministry to go preaching around the world. And he had this idea that he was just going to make the money. And you know, since then, I've watched him. And you know what all he's doing? He's always focused on making that money, but no preaching. I believe to this day that he veered away because he got so consumed with this idea of making money and making money. And one day he won't have to work, so to speak. And he'll go where he wants when he pleases. But you know what, my friends, he got away from the will of God. And my friends, if we make money the main thing, that's what will happen. It'll make us err from the faith. You know, God wants us to use money, not worship money. God wants us to use money, not worship money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I mentioned that verse the other day, and what a blessing it is. God does bless us financially and with other things, but we're not to be dependent on it. We're not to find joy in just that, but not to be high-minded or haughty. Listen to Luke chapter 16, verse 13 in this area of finances. And again, these are warnings of the Lord saying, look, I want you to be a good steward of this money, and there's nothing wrong with making money, and there's nothing wrong with having lots of money as long as you're using it for me. But listen to what he says. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And look what he says. You cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, money. You can't do both. You can't serve God and serve money. No, you can serve God and you can use money to do that. But I'm telling you, God says you can't serve both. And that is what the Word of God says. Listen to what chapter 12, verse 15 says, and this settles it for me, like all the other verses do, but this is just so black and white. Luke 12:15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. I'm telling you, that's crystal clear. Don't get caught up in this covetousness. I want more. I'm going to buy more. Blah, 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 blah. Listen, I'm telling you what. You will get caught up and you will destroy yourself, your family, and that will be the end of that. But I'm telling you what. We can do it with balance. We can make money for the glory of God and let Him be glorified through it. I love what old John Wesley said. This is a balanced quote. Old John Wesley, famous Methodist preacher, said this, make all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. That's honoring the Lord. Make all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. So we see here that we see the warnings not to make money making the focus, but just realizing God sees it as important. God sees it as necessary. And God calls us and commands us to be faithful with our finances. It is biblical and honoring to the Lord God to use our finances for His glory. Saving, investing, giving. That is the will of God. You know, I think about God wanting us to grow what He gives us. For the sake of time, I'm not going to go into the passages, but we know where Jesus gave a spiritual lesson with the parable of the talents. Jesus gave a clear lesson there that how He wants us to invest in the things that He gives us. Not just to hide it away, but to turn it over. Make that capital investment. That's what Jesus Christ wants us to do. And any master that has a servant working for him, especially in this time, it gives us sort of a glimpse in the culture here. But we see that the way they use finances that day, and Jesus gave them those talents. And of course, we have the talents that were given. It was 5 talents, it was 2 talents, and it was 1 talent. And there was the 5, he turned them over and invested and doubled. And the 2 also, and then the 1 hid his and made no wise investment. He was not a good steward. And Jesus is teaching right there, it is wise to invest in your capital. What God has given us, turn it over. Invest it. Use it for the glory of God. You know, we want to return our master's investment. Do we not? Jesus, our Lord and Savior who died on the cross, He's made an investment in each one of His children. He's given you certain things. Right now, we're just talking about the context of finances, but He gives us many things. And Jesus saying, look, I've given you these. Now go do something with them. Invest them for my glory. Whether that be finances, whether that be talents, gifts, energy, whatever. You use that for God. And I believe God wants us to do that with our finances, not just to hoard it and block it. That's why I'm so thankful that here at this church there is liberty in us seeing the investments in missions, the investments in and helping others go and preach the gospel all around the world. That's why I'm thankful that we make investments in people that come here and pour their heart and their gifts into us through preaching. I'm thankful that we see the investments of renewing our facilities and refreshing those, because it's an investment that will give, that will bring dividends as people come and are changed by the Word of God. They're able to enjoy the blessings that God has given us. You see, the Lord expects us to invest. It is biblical. And I believe this study that we're going to do, it's going to help us to do that even much more. You know, God, it is very much biblical for us to invest in our families. Man, I tell you one thing. When I first read this verse as a young Christian, I want to be honest with you. Let me be transparent with you. I didn't believe it. I said, that can't be right. That's just too strong. I said, how? that doesn't seem balanced to me. But listen to what 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8 says. But if any provide not for his own, talking about the spiritual leader of the home, and specifically for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I first read that as a young Christian. I said, whoa, that is powerful. That is strong. Is that for real? That if I don't realize that my financial investments in my family, making sure their needs are being met, making sure I'm being a blessing to them and helping them and making the proper investments and not being foolish with what God has blessed me with, I could be worse than an infidel? Well, that's what the Word of God says. That's the importance of us being very careful and diligent and vigilant and being a faithful steward with the finances God has blessed us with. Now, again, I believe it is biblical for us to make sure that we use our investments for our family. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children." And we see other instances in the Word of God where there is that truth of investing for our family's sake. And I hope that we'll realize, men, as God helps us in our stewarding our finances and wives here as well, I hope husband and wives will agree, hey, we need to get better at this. We need to be more careful with our spending. Well, let's get a plan. Let's get a budget. Let's honor the Lord and make sure that we are doing things in a way that pleases Him. That's my desire. I know I need improvement. As your pastor, I confess that, and I want to grow in that. But we see here that it's biblical to invest in our families. And you know, I believe it's biblical that we gain that we might give. Amen? That we gain in our finances as we invest, as we work, whatever the case may be, we gain that we might give. I never will forget the illustration that Dr. Sis gave. He was here, he preached for us one time, but he gave the illustration this, and it just helped me understand. He said, what God wants us, this is what a lot of God's people will do, but it's not what they're supposed to do. A lot of God's people will do this. This is what God's people should do. Receive and give. Just be a channel of God's blessings. Invest in others. Invest in our community. Invest in this church. Invest in the mission field. God blesses us and we become wise stewards of our finances so that we might give even more. And that's why I believe even faith promise when we sign those cards at the during our missions conference, man, you know what we do? We say, Lord, I believe you want me to give this and I'm trusting that you will give it through me. And you know what? God honors that prayer and he says, okay, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to bless you with this. And God blesses and you give it and it goes to the mission field and people are changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ because we were willing to give and understand the importance of using finances for the glory of God. Can I just say this in closing? You know, these things we've looked at and talked about, I'm just kind of topping the surface here, folks. There is so much more in the Word of God dealing with finances. But for the sake of time, I just wanted to introduce this study and for us to remember how important this is to God Almighty. But moving forward, we can't just say, all right, yeah, the Bible says that. Great. We don't leave it right there. You know what we do next? Let's get a plan. Let's get a strategy. And I just believe that this happens to be a tool to form a strategy. He is a professional in this, if you will, with finances. He studied. I believe he loves the Lord. And I don't believe he's perfect. There are some areas I would disagree, as I mentioned, as a disclaimer. But for the most part, I believe he's putting people on the right direction of honoring God with their finances. And I trust that he'll help us to do that. You know, can I say this about a plan and strategy? Proverbs 13:11 says this, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. You know what I think about when I think about that verse? The lottery. Now, I know some of you bought a ticket today, but listen, you need to just take it back. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. But what's the other part of that verse? But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Taking work and taking investment and taking time. And, oh, this is where I'm asking God to help me and help us with discipline. Understanding when to say, you know what? Let's pray about that. Maybe that's not the best time to invest. Or maybe it's a situation where you're saying, you know what? This is a good time to invest. And by the way, this is another area that we are individuals before God. And I'm not going to stand before the Lord for the way you spend your finances. And you're not going to stand before the Lord for me for the way I spend my finances. I want to tell you what, everyone is accountable to the Lord. And God will lead us differently in these areas, but one thing He will lead us all do, He will lead us to use our finances in a way that honors Him. Now, you don't ever want to get in that idea of being judgmental on how a brother or sister uses their finances. Hey, listen, let me just be frank with you. That's none of your business. That's none of my business. That's between them and God. But we see that we must have a plan. And we must have a strategy. And I believe God has given us that strategy through His Word. And I'm thankful for tools like this that we can use. Can I just mention a few things here to you that I think will just kind of bring things to reality of what we're dealing with in our society? Let me just say this. According to the U.S. Census Bureau of 2017, the average household income is $59,039. So that is the average household income. Now, we'll see here that total consumer debt in the U.S., and I'm not trying to overload you with numbers here, but the total consumer debt in the U.S. is $12.7 trillion. I know. Listen, you know that we see here all this debt, and of that debt, we see even of credit cards and what that can cost. $764 billion just with credit cards. Listen to this. 78%, again, this is Career Builder 2017. 78% of people live paycheck to paycheck of our country. The average credit card percentage, ooh, this one hurts, folks. The average APR on the credit card, and this is as of 2017, is 16.14%. 7 out of 10 couples do not budget consistently. 7 out of 10. Approximately 66% of Americans would struggle to pay for a $1,000 emergency. 66%. These are some things that have taken place through those that said, you know what? I got to do something. Things are getting out of hand. I'm not budgeting like I should, and I'm going to get some help. And people that have joined this study have been helped tremendously. And let me just say this: almost 5 million people have taken control of their money for the Lord with the easy to follow lessons that have been learned in this study we're going to go through. They learn practical ways to create a budget, to pay off debt, make wise spending choices, save for the future, and so much more. Let me mention just a couple statistics here, and we'll close in prayer. Debt paid in 90 days for those that took this course. Debt paid in 90 days was up to $5,300 debt paid in 90 days. Savings in 90 days, $2,700. 89%, this was pretty interesting after this study, 89% graduate after this course with at least a $1,000 emergency fund. 89%. 95% have increased financial security. Nearly 5 million people across the nation have taken this study. And 81%, get this, of married couples do a monthly zero-based budget after this study. So in other words, when Brother Ramsey said that, you know, you're going to be accountable in small groups, don't panic. It's not people are going to be seeing your personal business. But it's what it is. It's an accountability of how much you went over the budget that God led you to write out. And you encourage each other with that. And the goal is to have it that box at the end of each month. The goal is to have zero. That's the goal. It doesn't always happen. We know that. But that is the goal. And I believe that this was, you heard this statement. Brother Ramsey said, personal finance is 80% behavior. 80% behavior and only 20% head knowledge. So it has the matter, it goes back to going back to what we believe is God's will for us. According to 1 Corinthians 4, he says it is required in stewards. It is required that you manage my money, because it's God's money, that you be faithful in managing my money.